Have you noticed the buzz lately? I mean, AI, agentic capabilities, AI agents. It feels like it's just everywhere, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely the topic du jour.
Yeah, and it can seem, well, a bit overwhelming, frankly. Like you need some kind of secret decoder ring just to follow along.
That's a good way to put it. The jargon can be intense.
But what if it didn't have to be? What if there was a clearer path, you know, a way to really get what these tools are about?
And why they matter right now.
Exactly. So, welcome everyone to the deep dive.
Glad to be diving in.
Today, our mission is pretty simple. We're cutting through all that noise. We want to give you a real shortcut to understanding AI agents. This deep dive is really for you, whether you're, say, prepping for a meeting, just trying to catch up on the latest tech, or maybe you're just super curious about how this stuff is evolving.
Yeah, it's moving fast.
It really is. So, we're going to follow a simple 1-2-3 learning path today.
Nice and straightforward.
We'll build on concepts you probably already know, like using tools like ChatGPT.
Familiar ground.
And we'll use real examples to show how agents actually affect you. And trust us, those intimidating terms, you know, RAG, React, they're actually a lot simpler than they sound once you break them
They
down.
really are. It's about the core concepts.
Okay, ready to pull back the curtain then.
Let's do it.
All right, let's kick things off at level one. Large language models, LLMs.
The foundation.
Exactly. This is probably familiar territory for most of you listening. Think about those popular AI chatbots, ChatGPT, Google Gemini, Claude.
The ones making headlines.
Right. These are applications, really sophisticated ones, built on top of LLMs, and they're just fantastic at generating text, summarizing things, editing.
Text-based tasks, primarily.
Yeah. To visualize it, just picture a simple interaction. You, the human, you give it an input, maybe a question or a request.
A prompt.
A prompt, yes. And the LLM uses all its training data to produce an output. It's a pretty direct sort of one-to-one thing.
Input process output.
So, like, if you ask ChatGPT, hey, draft an email asking for a coffee chat, your prompt is the input.
And the email it writes is the output.
Exactly. Pretty elegant, efficient, and honestly, pretty amazing when you think about it.
It absolutely is amazing. There's no denying the power. But what's really key here, I think, is understanding their fundamental traits. These are crucial as we build up.
Okay.
Let's stick with your coffee chat example. What if, instead of asking for a draft, you ask ChatGPT, when is my next coffee chat?
Okay. I see where you're going.
Even before you hit enter, you kind of know it's going to fail, right?
Yeah, it doesn't know my calendar.
Exactly. And that highlights two core traits. First, despite being trained on just unbelievable amounts of public internet data, LLMs have limited knowledge of proprietary information.
Stuff that's specific to me.
Precisely. Your calendar, your company's internal docs, your private data, unless you explicitly give it that context.
Right, makes sense.
And second, equally important, LLMs are inherently passive.
Passive, meaning.
Meaning they wait for your prompt, they react, they don't initiate actions on their own, they don't just decide to check your calendar in the morning.
Okay, got it. They need to be told what to do every single time.
That's the essence of it. So keep these two things in mind. Limited proprietary knowledge and passivity. They're the starting point for, well, for everything else we'll talk about.
Okay, so LLMs are passive and they don't know my personal stuff. How do we bridge that gap then? How do we make them more, you know, useful in our actual day-to-day?
Ah, now we're getting to the next level.
This is where we start building. Right. What if we could give an LLM a specific set of instructions, like a recipe to follow?
A sequence of actions.
Yeah. So back to that coffee chat problem. Imagine you can tell the LLM, look, every time I ask about a personal event, step one, go search my Google Calendar. Step two, find the answer. Step three, then tell me.
You're defining a process.
Exactly. With that instruction in place, the next time I ask, when's my coffee chat with Elon Husky, it would work.
Because it knows the steps. Go to calendar, find info, respond.
Right. It accesses the calendar first. That feels like a really big leap forward.
It is a significant leap. And this takes us squarely into level two, what we call AI workflows.
My workflows. Okay.
This ability for the LLM to follow instructions and interact with external tools like your calendar is really powerful. It's more than just text generation now.
Definitely feels more active.
But here's the crucial insight, the catch, if you will. These workflows can only follow the exact predefined paths we set up.
The recipe we wrote.
Exactly. That sequence of steps that's sometimes called the control logic. It's the specific set of instructions the human designed.
Okay, so the human is still the puppet master, essentially.
In a way, yes. Let's stretch your example. You've got the time for your coffee chat now. Great. What if your next question is, okay, what's the weather going to be like then?
Right. The workflow I described only mentioned the calendar.
Exactly. It fails again. Because the path we told it to follow was only about the calendar. It wasn't instructed to check, say, a weather at or API.
So the workflow is limited by the steps I defined.
Precisely. Now, you could make the workflow more complex. You could add another step. If asked about weather, access weatherapi.com.
Okay.
You could even add another step. Then use a text-to-audio tool to speak the forecast.
Yeah.
You could chain together hundreds, maybe thousands of these steps.
Creating a really complex automated process.
You could. But here's the absolute key distinction, the thing to really grasp. No matter how many steps you add, if a human is the one defining that entire path, deciding every single step and condition.
Yeah.
It's still an AI workflow.
The human is the ultimate decision maker in designing it.
Correct. The intelligence is executing the steps, but the direction, the strategy, comes entirely from us.
Gotcha.
And hey, quick pro tip here. You've probably heard the term retrieval augmented generation, or RAG, right? It gets thrown around a lot.
Yeah, I've seen that acronym. Sounds complicated.
It sounds fancy, but honestly, in simple terms, RAGRI is basically a type of AI workflow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just a process that helps the AI model look stuff up from specific documents or data sources before it generates its answer.
Like checking my calendar or maybe company documents.
Exactly. It retrieves relevant info first, then uses that to augment its generation. So it gives a better, more informed answer. It's just a smart way to structure a workflow to give the LLM access to specific knowledge.
Okay, that actually demystifies Argo quite a bit. It's a workflow pattern for looking things up.
That's a great way to think about it.
So we're basically building this really smart automated assembly line for the LLM to follow. Let's make this super concrete. Our source material had a great real-world example using make.com, the automation tool.
Yes, the social media post example.
Right. So a human following a tutorial set up this AI workflow.
Mm-hmm.
Step one, compile links to news articles into a Google Sheet.
Okay.
Step two, use Perplexity, an AI search tool, to summarize those articles.
Got it.
Step three, use Claude, another LLM, with a very specific, carefully written prompt from the human to draft posts for LinkedIn and Instagram based on those summaries.
Human writes the prompt. Key detail.
Exactly. And finally, step four. Schedule the whole thing to run automatically every day at 8 a.m.
Automation.
Now, that seems like a perfect illustration of an AI workflow, right? It follows that clear, predefined path set entirely by the human. Step one, do this. Step two, do that. Run daily.
Absolutely. Textbook example. The human is the architect, the director, defining every single move.
Okay.
But this raises a really important question, and it's the bridge to our next level.
What's that?
What happens if you, the human, look at that LinkedIn post it drafted and you think, it's not really funny enough. The source even mentioned that possibility.
Right. I'd want to tweak it.
So how do you do that in this workflow?
Well, I guess I'd have to go back into make.com, find that step with the Claude prompt,
yep,
and then manually rewrite the prompt. Maybe add something like make it funnier or add a witty observation.
Exactly. You, the human, have to intervene. You evaluate the output, decide it needs changing,
yeah,
and then you make the change to the instructions.
That trial and error loop.
That entire cycle, try, evaluate, tweak, try again, is being managed by the human. That's the critical piece, the human decision-making in the loop, that separates a workflow from a true AI agent.
You called it the human bottleneck earlier. Even with all that automation, I'm still the one refining it.
Precisely. You're the intelligence guiding the refinement.
Okay, that really crystallizes the difference. So we've gone from passive LLMs to workflows that follow my instructions but still need my guidance for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
What's the massive leap then? What's the game changer needed to go from this sophisticated workflow to what we'd call a genuine AI agent? Where does that bottleneck finally break?
Okay, here's the core shift. The single most profound change needed is for you, the human decision maker in that refinement loop, to be essentially replaced by the LLM itself.
Whoa. Okay. The LLM makes the decisions.
Yes. The AI agent has to not just follow instructions, but reason and act autonomously to achieve a goal you give it. It's about transferring that control logic, that decision-making power, from you to the AI.
Autonomously. That sounds like a big deal.
It is. And it means a true AI agent needs to be able to do three fundamental things. This is where it gets really interesting.
Right, lay it on me.
First, it must igno, reason. It has to think about the best way to achieve the goal. So for that social media post, Instead of you listing the steps, the agent thinks, goal, engaging LinkedIn post. How best to get news? Copy-paste articles. No, inefficient. Compile links. Use a tool to summarize. Yes, that seems better. It's problem-solving the approach.
Okay, so it strategizes first.
Exactly. Second, it must act. It needs to use tools effectively to execute its reasoned plan. It thinks, okay, need to compile links, use Word, clunky, spreadsheet, better. Oh, user's Google account is linked via make.com. Okay, Google Sheets is the optimal tool here. It intelligently selects and uses the tools available.
So it picks the right tool for the job based on the situation.
Correct. And third, and this is the real kicker, it must iterate autonomously.
Fixing the not funny enough problem without me.
Precisely. Imagine this. The agent drafts V1 of the LinkedIn post. It then decides on its own to, say, use another LLM, maybe one specialized in social media critique, to evaluate its own draft against criteria like engagement or wit.
So it asks for feedback from another AI.
Potentially, yes. Or it evaluates against internal criteria. It gets the feedback, figures out how to improve, maybe adjusts its own internal prompt or strategy, drafts V2, and repeats this cycle by itself until the post meets the goal. No human involved in that loop.
That's self-correction.
That's the autonomous iteration. It's not just automation, it's self-improvement towards the goal.
Okay, reason, act, iterate. That makes the difference clear.
Another pro tip for you, because this cycle of reasoning and then acting is so fundamental.
Yeah.
The most common framework or concept that people talk about for building these agents is called the RACT framework.
RACT. Okay, what's that stand for?
Simply reason and act. Yeah. It just emphasizes those two core typical capabilities needed for the agent to operate autonomously. Think, then do, then think, then do.
Reason, act, RACT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, much less scary when you put it like
that. Exactly. It's about the core function.
That hypothetical self-correcting post is powerful, but let's make it even more real. Andrew Ng, huge name in AI.
Absolutely, pioneer.
He created this great demo website showing an AI vision agent. It really clicked for me.
The skier demo, right. I know the one.
Yeah. So you go to the site, you type in a keyword like skier,
mm-hmm.
and in the background, the AI vision agent kicks in. First, it reasons. Okay, what does a skier generally look like? Person, skis, snow, movement, probably certain clothes. It forms a concept.
It understands the request conceptually.
Then it acts. It scans through potentially hours of video footage, identifies clips that match its reasoned understanding of a skier.
Finds the relevant segments.
Indexes those clips, maybe tags them automatically with skier, and then presents those specific clips back to you.
All without prior manual tagging.
That's the mind-blowing part. The aha moment for me was realizing no human had to sit there watching all that footage beforehand, manually finding every skier and tagging skier, mountain, snow. The agent did the whole thing, understanding, finding, tagging, organizing autonomously.
It's like having a tireless video analysis expert who instantly gets your request.
Totally. It just does the task based on the goal.
Exactly. And if you connect that to the bigger picture, obviously, the programming behind it is way more complex than the simple search box you see.
Oh, for sure.
But that's the whole point, isn't it? As a user, you just want the tool to work. You want the result. You don't necessarily need to know the intricate dance of algorithms happening behind the scenes.
Right. We want empowered tools.
Empowered, independent, and goal-oriented. Moving beyond just reacting to commands to actually understanding and achieving objectives.
Okay, this is tying together nicely. Let's bring it back home with that simplified visualization from the source material, thinking about these three distinct levels.
The 1-2-3 path.
Exactly. So level one, LLMs. You give an input, the LLM gives an output. Great for text, but it's passive, waits for you, and doesn't know your specific stuff.
Input, output. Simple interaction.
Level two, AI workflows. You give an input, and you give it that predefined path, that recipe, the control logic. It might use external tools following your steps. But the key, you, the human, are the architect designing that exact path.
Human defines the steps. Executes predefined logic.
Yeah, and level three, AI agents. This is the leap. You give the agent a goal. The LLM itself then performs the reasoning how best to achieve this. It takes action using tools, gets an interim result, observes that result, and crucially decides autonomously whether more iterations are needed to finally meet the goal.
LLM becomes the decision maker in the loop, reasoning, acting, iterating towards the objective.
That is such a clear distinction. The agent isn't just following my recipe. It's figuring out its own recipe and refining it until the dish is perfect.
That's a perfect analogy. It's moving from cook to chef.
What an incredible deep dive today. Seriously. We've gone from basic LLMs all the way to these sophisticated AI agents that can think, act, and improve on their own.
Quite the journey.
We really hope this has given you listening a much clearer, more concise handle on what AI agents actually are, and maybe just as importantly, how they're fundamentally different from the AI tools you might be using right now.
Yeah, and I think understanding this shift is really important. As these tools become more agentic, they're really moving from being just responsive,
waiting for us,
to being truly proactive and goal-oriented. Getting your head around that shift isn't just tech trivia. It's key to seeing the broader implications, you know, how AI might reshape industries, workflows, even just daily tasks.
Absolutely.
It really encourages us to think more critically about how we can best leverage these capabilities and maybe what kinds of bigger, more complex problems we actually want them tackling.
That's a great point, which leads perfectly into a final thought for you to take away and chew on, building on that idea from the source about what agent to build next. Now that you understand that an AI agent can autonomously reason, act, and iterate to achieve a goal, what problem, maybe in your work, maybe in your life, would you want an AI agent to solve? What kind of agent would you build if you could?
Ooh, that's a good one. It opens up a lot of possibilities.
Definitely something powerful to ponder until our next deep dive. Have a great one, everyone.
Take care.